I want to read to you a little familiar scripture out of Proverbs 22. These have probably been read out of Proverbs as much as any of them. Most of the time we go, we'll train a child up in the way they go, or a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Those two. But I want to take the seventh verse. It says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and love and favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are the riches and honor and life, and thorns and snares unto the way of the ford. He that doeth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way it should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender.
Amen.
And that's where my thought lies today. And in this, don't think that I'm no better than anybody else. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the bar is the servant to the lender. Y'all pray for us as we try to help somebody today. Growing up, when I grew up, I've preached along this way different times, but I can't help it. We still need to preach on it. We have young people today that are hurting. We got young people today they're trying to live just like mom and daddy is starting off. They want to have nice new vehicles. They want to have the nicest house set on a hill somewhere. They want to have all these things that they see their mom and daddy have, and some of their friends has got also. And everybody, you ever heard of the saying, keep up with the Joneses? Everybody wants to do that, don't they? But if you ain't careful and all that, trying to keep up with the Joneses, you'll get yourself in a place that the Joneses will be separated. Your little household will be tore up and divided. When I grew up, people told me that if you're ever going to have anything, son, my daddy told me. We'd go different times back in the day. I had an uncle named Bob Freeman. Had a lot of money. We'd go to his house on Saturday morning. Going to his house was like going to a bank. You'd go there and you'd sit in the living room. Everybody'd sit in their living room on Saturday morning, and he'd do a little while, he'd call your name. You'd go in the kitchen, you'd go in yonder, and you'd tell him how much money you need. He'd not give you the money. You'd shake his hand, and that was it. It was a deal. You walked out of there with the money, and you was to pay the man back. And sometimes they may have signed the note, but I went with Daddy different times, and I'd ask Daddy, why are we coming over here Bob's for to get money? And he'd say, well, son, if you're ever going to have anything, you'll have to borrow money. And to a certain extent, that might have been a little true. And that mentality, I mean, I understood where he was coming from, but listen to me. I love my daddy, but I don't think that was, he always gave the best advice. I believe if you ever want to get yourself in a bad enough position, you just keep borrowing money. And you want to get to where you don't have anything, and I'm talking about peace of mind or anything, you just keep right on borrowing money and see where you end up. I worked for a man one time. I was doing footers for him, knowed him for years. And I was digging him a house footer for a spec house, and we was out there, and that man was just such a good mood that day. And I thought, why are you so happy? And I said, what is going wrong with you? Why? He said, I'm tickled to death. He said, I've done something today ain't too many people this whole world ever do. I said, what was that? And he said, I'm now $1 million in debt. I scratched my old noggin a while. I said, well, I'd be pretty happy, I guess, if I had $1 million. He said, no. He said, you don't understand. He said, there ain't too many. He said, can you borrow $1 million? I said, nah, mister, I doubt if I could, but I doubt if I'd want to. He said, there ain't many people like me that can go borrow $1 million. That same man, a few years later, was flat broke and died with nothing. Just because you've got a credit card's got $100,000 credit on it, don't mean it's a good thing. Amen. You may think you're rotten and high cotton if you got a bill full of credit cards and they're that thick. And you may feel pretty good about them today. You may feel pretty good that you called, set you up some reservations to go to the mountains and Myrtle Beach and do all these things that you might want to do. You think your kids deserve to do as well as anybody else. But sooner or later, you're going to become a servant to that lender. Sooner or later, the mailman's going to run out yonder. He's going to drop something off in your mailbox. You're going to go out there and open it up. And you're going to say, how did this happen? How am I going to pay this? How am I going to handle this now? I've got a mortgage. I've got a car payment. I've got this much interest coming to you. And it don't make a difference how much you pay on that. It won't touch the principal. I've been there. I know about it. I know what it's like to dread the mailman coming, to see him out there so opening up your lid, sticking that in there, and you know good and well it's going to be something in there that you're not going to like. You ever been that way? You ever just dread going? And you're not expecting a check? My brother-in-law, I've seen him. He'll go to the mailbox 2 or 3 times a day. Love the man to death. He'll go get the mail and then go back again. I finally asked him one day, are you expecting a check or something? Mine and his mailbox right beside each other. I go get mine every day. I don't put it off, but I don't look forward to seeing what might be in there. I don't know if he's expecting some kind of $1 million check to come one day or not. But I've seen a time, and it ain't that way, thanks be unto God now. If you'll listen to me today, I'll save you some trouble.
Amen.
If you'll just pay attention just a little while, I'll save you some heartache. Amen. Not because I'm better than you, because I've been there and I've done that. I know what it's like for my wife to lay her head on my shoulder at night and look at me and with a tear running down her cheeks and say, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you lied within yourself and to her saying it's going to be all right. But God made it all right. In your mind you think it's no way. But out of your mouth comes the word, it's going to be okay. And God took care of it and it was okay. Only God can do his thing. But listen to me. You can't serve God and mammon, God and money.
Amen.
It won't work. You'll become a servant to that lender. I heard a man tell me one time, he said he got in so deep he couldn't hardly make it, and said, banks was calling every day. Credit card people were calling every day. Lenders was calling every day. Said finally, well, I believe it was Macon Bank called and said he answered the phone. Hello. I'll just use Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, your note's due and you're going to have to come pay it or we're going to have to take action. He said, listen, lady, he said, I've got enough money to pay somebody this week. I'm fixing to put everybody's name in a hat and draw out who I'm going to pay. He said, if you call one more time, I'm taking your name out of the hat. I know what that's like. I know what it's like. You ever heard people say, rob from Peter and pay Paul? I know what that's like. I've heard some of you say that you've never had to worry about that, boy. That's a blessing. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't know that that'll always be that way. Amen. You can have everything today. I've heard people say, well, I own this and ain't nothing. Nobody going to do anything about it. Let me tell you something. Things can change in a heartbeat. Amen. I know my pa was a wealthy man. He owned a lot on West Fork. He was the brother of Bob. I want you to realize he had a lot of things. And when he died, he had one. His Brandon's sister lives in the house now. One little brick house he had on a couple acres of land. I want you to realize my granny got sick and he lost just about everything he owned. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of acres of land. Every bit of it was sold off. I want you to know something. You can have everything today and have nothing tomorrow. Amen. The Hebrew writer said, let your conversation be without covetous, and be ye content with such things that you have. Amen. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The servant of the lender. Be content with such things that you have. Why? That you won't become the servant of the lender and you won't have to fear what man shall do unto you. If you've never been there, you don't know. But listen to me. I ain't had a credit card in 20 years, and you can't give me one. I've had no telling how many say, you can have anything you want. I tell them at the bank, I went up there here a while back when I bought my truck, took a loan, and they said, y'all's credit score is 765 apiece. We never seen that before with men and women having the same one, a husband and a wife. You can get what you want. I thought, I don't want nothing. I want to pick up to where I can haul my junk around. I had to sell mine. One time, y'all remember that? Y'all remember the story? Me praying and asking God to help me, had a note coming due. How am I going to be able to pay that? God sent a man to my door. Bought that old pickup truck that I love so much. Let her go. Turned it down, let it go. Don't tell it how many times. Told people it wasn't for sale. But when God sent a man there with the money in his pocket to buy my old truck, honey, I took it. Went and paid that note off. For a while, didn't have no way to haul my junk at the bar pickup all that. But years later, he made a way for me to have another. But I had to borrow for it. And I'm going to tell you something. It scared me to death. It should scare you to death every time you signed your name on that piece of paper. Because you're fixing to become the servant to the lender once again. Every time you write your name down, you give your word, your honor, your name. A good name is more precious than gold. So you're going to live with it. You're going to stay awake with it at night. And that's some of the things that we can kind of need. I ain't talking about the things that you want. I ain't talking about that brand new car that you don't need, but you wanted it. Boy, it smelled good that first month, didn't it? God, that baby, that new car smell. Ooh, wait. I've had about three or four of them. I know. I still remember what they smell like. You sit down in there. It says about 6 or 7 miles an hour on that old one speedometer, and you just hop down. You're cruising down the road. Crack that radio up just a little louder. Roll that window down. Hair blowing there. Feeling pretty good. About a month later, you walk out to the mailbox, and there it is. About that thick. $500 for the next 60 months, and this baby will be yours. And you think, well, I only give $22,000 for it. $500 for 60 months, that's $30,000. That baby's going to be there every month, ain't it? Then you sit down in that car and you know what it smells like in. Starts to stink a little bit, don't it? I hate this car. The next time you say, would you want to go out and eat? Would you like to go to Harper's? Well, I'd like to. We're going to have to make a car payment next week. And right now, we just ain't got an extra $20 to go. Then you go out there to set it, listen to the radio. Can't afford gas. Go to work. That's really the way it is. If you'll listen to me, I'll save you some trouble. Get you a vehicle that you can afford. Amen. And my, you know what I give for my first one? $50. A Datsun B210. You cranked it with a screwdriver. Points would stick on it every 10 minutes. You'd be going down the road just cruising along. And all of a sudden, pop the hood, hop out, pull the distributor cap off, pop them points, hop back in there and take off again. $50 still carrying me down the road. What'd you get for yours? Just carrying you down the road. That's all it's doing. Be content. My brother-in-law, we went down there and seen him yesterday. His 401k last time I heard, a few years ago, we had hundreds of thousands of dollars. Since the economy's way, it ain't no telling how much money he's got. I wouldn't be surprised at being a millions. Him sitting down there in a little house most people would think falling down around him could care less. Just happy as he could be sitting there watching TV. Come on in, he said. Didn't he know who it was? I knocked on the door and said, Sheriff's Office, come on in. I went on in, sat down in there, and we sat there and talked a while. Happiest man you will ever meet. Most people think, how do you live this way? He's content. Amen. He's content with what he has. If you want to find happiness, find contentment. Because if you're content, you're not wanting that next farm. You're not doing that next vehicle. You're not wanting that next chainsaw. That's me. You're not wanting all this junk. You're content where you're at and what state you're in. Ain't that what Paul said? Paul said he'd learned that. He said, not to think of respect on want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased or be brought down low, and I know how to be abound or how to be lifted up. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and both to suffer need. That's in Philippians chapter 4, 11 and 12. He said, I've learned to be content. I had to learn that. You're learning that. Listen to me. You can learn it today, young person, without having to go through the trouble. Amen. Don't be a servant to the lender. You'll have a lot more in this life if you'll save up for it. You want that vacation this summer? I tell you what, dude. You know, out here a while back, Bernie come in the house and he said, boy, what a big old TV. We got a big 55-inch Samsung TV there. He said, man, that must be nice. I said, I bought it with pocket change. He said, you didn't do it. I said, I did too. And Sheila said, yeah, he did. Every year, starting the first of the year, I put my change I get in a pot. And that's what we buy our Christmas gift with. We've done it for several years. You say, well, that ain't going to amount to much. It'll amount to $200 or $300 or $400. You can buy a TV with it. If you want to have a vacation this summer, instead of putting it on that little pretty credit card you got in your billfold, start saving for it.
Amen.
Put you back $20 a week. Next thing you'll know, by the end of summer, you'll have $700 or $800. You say, well, yeah, Brother Jeff, that ain't going nowhere. It'll go further than that credit card will go.
Amen.
You might just have to go up Mama Cave and spend a night or two there at a motel and do a little something local. It won't be nothing wrong with that. Some of the best trips we've ever had with the kids is when we went somewhere local, got a motel room, probably cost us $50 or $75, had a swimming pool, and they had a ball. And so did I, because it only cost me $150 instead of
$1,500.
You'll figure out when your children start getting bigger and they start hearing you fussing and fighting over how you're going to pay bills. They'd been a lot happier without that big trip and had a happy mom and daddy. It would be better for them to be able to lay down and go to sleep at night in peace and then hearing you argue in the other room over how you're going to pay your next bill over or why you spent $10 at the dollar store. You want to be happy? Don't become the servant to the lender. You know why people used to be happy? You wonder how could people be happy that just had very little or nothing. They didn't know everybody in the country. They lived within their means. That's something we forgot some time ago. People no longer live within their means. Macon County is worse than any place you'll see. You go around, you look around up here, and there's big houses everywhere. I've got family and friends live off from here, and they'll come here and they'll say, how in the world do people around here do it? I'm not talking about a $200,000 house. Used to, that was a big
expensive house.
They won't buy much no more. I'm talking about there's some houses around here, and some of y'all may be fortunate enough to have one. I don't know. But I'm talking about there's some houses around here. There's a house up there. Y'all seen that house before you go into Bowling Green? They worked on that thing 3 or 4 years. On the right there, I thought it was a motel. I didn't know what it was going to. It's a house! I'm telling you, it'd take a month to go around and see all the rooms in it. Can you imagine the mortgage payment on that, baby? Why? You still out doing this construction work. You go down around here in Seville, you'd be working for somebody and they'd show you the house. They'd want to show it off. They'd start off, they'd show you the living room, the kitchen, their main bedroom, and maybe their secondary bedroom. And then you'd get into birth room 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And they was empty. You know why they was empty? They didn't have no money to put nothing in them. Because they had to make that mortgage payment. Couldn't even put furniture in them. They just sitting there empty. Didn't need them none of the time. Never did need it. It was just where they could, people drive by and say, whoo-wee, looky yonder. Ain't that nice? I've got over that whoo-wee thing. It said the poor and the rich, gathered, God gathers them together. Yeah. We gather together here Sunday. Some of us is more blessed than others. And I'm considering myself and the some of them is more blessed than others. Because I've got plenty. I've got what I need. I've got my old house is unlevel and out of square. Poor Brandon, he married into the family, bless his heart. He come in there, he's been remodeling ever since he married into the bunch. When he first got there, he brought him out a square and a little one. I said, put that up. Around here, you make it look right. Wherever it looks to be us, that's it. That nail it right there. You put a level and a square on it, the door will be on this part of the room. It'll be this far apart from the ceiling. On the other part, it'll be this far. So you sort of slant that baby. She goes. It looked pretty good. We give $17,000 for the house. $50 for a first car. Right now, it's sustained me for 30 years. Amen. I've raised two babies in it. And I ain't ashamed for anybody to come in it.
Amen.
I'd just seen somebody come in and sit in my living room as if I'd had a $1 million house.
Amen.
You know why? God gave it to me.
Amen.
I'm fortunate. I'm with the blessed ones. I don't have that great big mortgage. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. If you got clothes on your back, y'all can see. My belly ain't hurt. Be content.
Amen.
Quit wanting to keep up with the Joneses. Quit trying to be like everybody else. Everybody worries about Houston. I ain't got no high school reunion, but she used to. She would worry herself to death about going to that high school reunion. Because there we was, you know, didn't have a whole lot. And you always worry about your weight and your hair and your status. And when it was all said and done, many of her friends that she looked up to and thought had done so well, big part of them's divorced. Big part of them at some time lost everything. You got each other. You got love. You got God. You got food. You got raiment. You've got a future. You can do with this what you want. You can leave here today and you can go buy you a new car tomorrow. It don't bother me none. I'm glad for you if you can afford it. If you can afford it. There's different times the Bible says about sitting down. Who would build a temple without sitting down and counting the cost of whether that you could do it or not? Who would go into war without counting the cost whether you could win it or not? If you can sit down and put it on pencil and paper and every month you're going to have X amount left without working overtime, without everything going just perfect, and you're going to have enough money to go to Harper's and eat, you're going to have enough money to get. I hear people say, well, I'd love to give the church. I just can't afford it. You know why you can't afford it? Because you got that new boat sitting in your garage, that new car sitting beside it, and that brand new house that you got. That's why you can't give nothing to the Lord. Because you're too good taking care of yourself. You can't afford it. You can't afford not to.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Got on people's nerves a little bit that time, didn't I? Oops. Sorry about that. That's hard, ain't it? You want to be happy? Be content with what you got.
Amen.
And that ain't just with your material things. Look at the one sitting beside you today if you're fortunate enough to have them with you. If you ain't fortunate enough with them with you, you just imagine them right now. I've talked about this many times. The grass is not always greener on the other side. I put in them septic systems. If you look in the yard in the middle of the summer, the drought comes, all the grass is brown, there's green lines through there in your yard. You know why them lines are green? Because underneath it, it's sewage. It's rotten. That pretty little thing you work with, right handsome, good-looking guy, that's always got the smooth words paying attention to you when your husband don't give you none, got the, hey, sweetie. Looks so green, don't it? When you get to the root of him or her, you're going to find it to be rotten. Be content with such things as you have. That's my message. I know I've been a little long probably. I don't know. Don't really matter.
Amen.
What matters is if you get it.
Amen.
So what you going to do with it? What you going to do with it? I'm tied up in wars everywhere. That's my message. We'll have a song and a handshake.